5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When I had come down this hill, I had seen this creature cross the road. It would have ripped my locked door from my truck, extracted me from my vehicle, and there wouldn't have been a damn thing I could have done about it.
This thing, I got to notice in its eyes. Its eyes was real, real evil, real sinister looking. The look it was giving me.
What are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see ya!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Welcome to Sasquatch Chronicles, a place where people share their encounters. Let's start the show. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you this evening. Going to be inviting Corey on here shortly. And Corey's actually from Texas, and he went out on a paid hunting trip, kind of a paid expedition to go hunting in Canada. And he had a lot of strange occurrences while he was out there hunting. And I brought up some childhood memories that he had back in Texas. So he'll be sharing all of that with us tonight. Thanks for being here tonight. Thanks for listening. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. Wes@SasquatchChronicles.com. And when you shoot me an email, please include all of your contact information. Again, it's Wes@SasquatchChronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out the website, SasquatchChronicles.com. Additional shows. A lot of work goes into the website. So if you get a free moment, please check out SasquatchChronicles.com. Well, let's jump into it tonight. A lot to get to tonight. Corey, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here tonight.
Yeah, thank you very much. I really do appreciate your time and you listening and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I thought, you know, we both talked about this before we went on air. Let's start with your encounter when you were hunting. Tell us what happened.
Well, it was in 2007. Me and my father, my brother-in-law, and his father, we all booked a hunt in Saskatchewan, Canada. On a whitetail hunt. We all went up there, and it was the second time for me to be in Canada, but it's a totally different part of Canada. I went caribou hunting before in the Labrador area. This is the first time in Saskatchewan and everything, and went up there, and, you know, it was beautiful and everything. And then, you know, we got to camp and everything and got set up and just waited. And like I said, you have to wait a day before you can go hunt. And so we all, you know, just kind of got used to the place and sat there and enjoyed it for a little while. And then that Monday, we went out and got put into our blinds that they chose them. They didn't really ask which one you want to go to. They just kind of chose and picked, you know, which blind they're going to take individuals to. So I get up in my blind, and I'm guessing it was around 4:30-ish in the morning that I got put in. And I got all settled up and everything. And like I had mentioned to you, we get cold down here with wind and everything. And tempers can drop, but it was just, it's a different cold up there. So I was already freezing just a few minutes after sitting there. So, I'd sat there for a good 20 minutes or so. And then just off in the distance, it was off to my left side. My left out of the blind, I would guess from about 350 yards away, I just heard a very loud, distinct three knock sounds. And I just kind of tilted my head and, you know, tried to look through the window. Of course, it's still dark. I had no idea. I just kind of looked off in that direction. And the one thing it just really caught my attention to is it to me, it sounded like two wooden bats hitting right in the sweet spot. Just whack, whack, whack. So I sat there for a few minutes and was just kind of gathering on that. That's a weird sound. I've never heard that before. And like I said to you when we talked last night, that is, you know, I've hunted my whole life. Of course, not that much up in Canada, but that was something totally different than I've ever heard in my entire life. And, you know, I sat there for a few more minutes, and then it would probably be in about 15 more minutes or so, then I heard it again. And it seemed to be a little closer that time. I sat there for until, you know, the sun was getting close to coming up, and it was about every 15 or so minutes, just guessing because I wasn't looking at any watch or time or anything. It just seemed like I would hear it pretty close to about the same period of time and stretched from each other, but it kept on getting closer. And I had no idea what the sound was, but it just sounded like wood banging together, this solid, crisp sounds. And, of course, snow all over the ground, cold, and it would just echo because there wasn't any wind blowing at all. It was pretty, you know, eerie because I had no idea what it was. And being in the dark, it kind of throws you off a little bit trying to figure out what is going on because you can't see at all. The last time I heard the knocks, they were relatively pretty close. I would guess about maybe at that time, about 100 yards away or less. And the last time, it instead of three times, it was four times. And then there was a ravine type of thing that was running alongside the same direction, the left side of the blind there, that I would estimate was probably around 10 foot deep or so. And I could hear something that seemed like it was walking down that ravine. And so I pulled my 300 up with the Swarovski scope on it, and I pulled it up and just tried to pan to see if it would take in any type of light at all to see if I could see anything. Nothing. Never could see anything. The sun started working its way up, and you know, I heard it still walking, but it just seemed like it just kind of walked away, whatever it was. I could not tell what it was. And I sat there the rest of the day and hunted and only saw maybe three deer that came into the bait. There's some piles of hay set up out there, alfalfa, I'm sure. But sat there all day long. Sun was, you know, finally going down and everything. And the guy that ran the place, you know, came and picked me up. And I asked him, I said, what makes a knocking sound out here? I kept on hearing this weird knocking sound this morning before the sun came up, and I had no idea what it was, and he just kept on getting closer to me. And he told me, well, it was probably a moose. I said, okay, well, I took his word for it. I have no idea. I saw a few moose when we got up there, but I'd never heard, you know, a moose making a sound like that, but he's the local man for that area, so I just took his word for it. Got back to camp and everything, and I had been talking to my wife off and on for the last day or so when we got there, and my middle daughter had started having seizures, and they were actually flying her to Cook in Fort Worth, Texas. So I told the guys, I got to go. I got to get out of here. I got to get back. So they drove me all the way back to Saskatoon, and I got on the plane the very next morning, first one I could get on, and flew on back home. Well, they called me back about a month or so afterwards to check on her and see how everything was going. And through the chain of who we went through and everything, they they got back in contact with me again and offered me another hunt to come back up, but they normally don't do that. But with this circumstance, they felt like they wanted to be nice about how everything went and offered me to come back up to hunt, which was already paid for. So they offered me another whitetail hunt the next fall, or I could come back and go black bear hunting in the spring. I told them, I said, well, you know what? I think I'll take you up on the bear hunt. And so everything was good and everything, got it all set up and everything. And it would be in June, that next spring, we headed back up there. We fly out. Me and my father flew out and went back up there. And we get back to the same camp area and everything, the same cabin. Get everything unloaded, take everything into the house and everything, get everything set up in our rooms and everything. And it was a Saturday afternoon again, like the other time we got there. And I wanted to go outside and just kind of soak it all in and look around. And there's a river that runs, it's probably about 250 yards down the way from the cabin, down in the bottom there. And I'd walked out, and I don't think we had been there for more than, we probably went more than 35 minutes or 40 minutes we'd been there. And then all of a sudden, off in the distance on the other side of the river there, I just hear three distinct knocks, just wah, wah, wah. I'm like, what the heck is that? So I take off running towards where the river is, and there's some really thick brush, tall brush. I'm not sure what kind it is and what it's called, but there's a path through it that goes down to the river. I'm not sure if he actually made it or if it was just an old game trail that had been made there or what. I didn't know if the guys that had lived there and ran the place all those years had made it. Anyways, as I was running down that, the guide there was actually coming up it at the same time. And we almost just ran each other over. We stopped, just almost eyeball to eyeball. He turns around. He was looking back over his shoulder back towards the same direction where I was hearing this. I guess he heard me, and he finally turned around and looked up. And I looked right at him. I said, okay, did you hear that? And he said, yeah, I heard that. And I said, well, you told me back in November that was moose. Was that a moose? Is what I asked him. And he goes, no, that's not a moose. I said, well, what is that then? He goes, I have no idea what that is. These guys, this is a big, 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 huge place. I guess national forest for them up there that they've used for logging for many years. And this family has had the only rights to hunt it ever since, as far as I can tell, is that's what they said, that they've always had the rights to hunt it. He said he'd never heard that noise before. And, we went back to camp and went to the cabin. We talked about it a little bit more and everything and just kind of hashing stuff out, trying to figure out what he thought it was and what I thought it was. And then, just kind of, the subject of, Bigfoot Sasquatch kind of came up, and he goes, well, I've never seen anything like that, is what he told me. He said, but, the word is around here. People say they have seen it. And he said, I have not. I have no idea. He said, but hearing that, he was shook up. And I think what might have shaken him up is that it's something he can't believe he's never heard before, and that's, his home turf.
I wanted to ask you, did you get the impression like this guy's heard it before and he just doesn't want to mess up this hunting gig he has going on? Or did you think you really hadn't heard that before?
The only thing that would make me think that I think it might be possible that he might have heard something before but never put it put it all together that way, because where he would have been standing, he was really close to where the river was. He'd have been like right there close to where the knocking was, because it seemed to be coming from the edge of the wood line that was on the other side of the river, which was only maybe 50 yards on the other side of the river. So he would have been really close. And I'm just wondering if he was just so loud. He had a look on his face that he was really spooked.
What did you think it was at the time?
Well, you know, at the time, like the first incident early that morning, I had no idea what it was. I was trying to figure out what was coming my direction. And, you know, as it got closer that first night, or that first morning, I mean, you know, as it got closer, you know, I didn't hear anything moving or walking. You would just hear the knocks get closer and closer. And then as it seemed to be as close as it was, then I could hear something moving. And that's when I went to trying to look to see what it possibly could be. Now that when it happened that second time, in June, you know, it was in the afternoon. We'd just gotten there. It was getting close to sunset, but it wasn't quite sunset yet. So it was still bright, you know, sunny outside. And that's when it happened. And, you know, it was just totally out of the blue. It was very unexpected to me. It was the last thing I thought I was going to hear, you know, 30, 40 minutes after I just pulled up to the place. And this, you know, the look on his face, I could tell that, I guess I was excited because I wanted to figure out what that was, because it was the same sound that I heard the first time I was there. And he had the totally different look, the different aspect on his face on the whole thing. He looked like he was ready to just get back up to cabin. And I don't know if you could be right. It could be something that they've heard before, and they're like, well, it's back, and just get back up there because I don't want to deal with this. I'm hoping this won't happen. I don't know.
Yeah, it's bad for business.
Yeah, I mean, of course, if anything's going to scare, you know, the poop in anybody's britches, that's one thing you don't want happening if people are paying you money to come out and hunt.
Now, did you, after you heard this, was that the end of the experience for that trip?
No, not at all. Not at all. About 3 days later, he took me out 10 to 12 miles from the actual campsite, the cabin there, to another blind. Like I said, this is a huge forest area, and they have the right to hunt just about, I guess, every bit of it. So we went about 10 or 12 miles away. Wasn't having much luck with bears, wasn't seeing very many. Not sure if it was I think it was a little out of the norm as warm as it was at that time. He kind of mentioned that. We had like one day that it snowed and rained a little bit, but it heated right back up right after that. He took me out there and got me set up. And, you know, the sun doesn't set until about 10 o'clock up there in around June and everything. So went out to the blind about 4:30 in the afternoon. That's it, the rest of the afternoon and night, just waiting for a bear to come in. I got up there and I got, you know, everything kind of settled and situated. And sat there, if I can remember right, I might have been there for about 30 to 45 minutes. I think it was close to like 5. I think it was like 5:07, because if I remember right, I think I looked down. I was wearing a watch. I think I looked down right when I started hearing it. But there was I'm not sure it's the exact same river that flows by the cabin, but there was a river that was flowing near to this blind that I was sitting in, which was just an open stand. It was big, a platform that was probably, I would say, maybe 4x6, a rectangle platform. It was open too, it wasn't enclosed. And I was just sitting up there, and the river was flowing off to my right-hand side. And I would guess it would have been, 300 to 400 yards away from where I was sitting. And you could hear the water running very strongly. The water, the current must have been pretty strong right there in that area. It was about 507 to 515. And it was definitely, you could tell it was on the other side of the river. And something just broke loose. And it just sounded like hell unleashed. I could hear brush. I could hear things tearing apart. It just sounded like something was shredding something apart. And the vocals that it was making was something I had never heard in my entire life. It's almost indescribable. I couldn't figure out what on earth would have been making noise like that. You know, at first I was trying to clarify in my head that, oh, this could be this could be that. Maybe it's two bears over there fighting. Maybe this is what it could be. I could fathom what could be making noises like that.
What did you hear? What did it sound like?
Oh, it was just, it's... I can't really make those vocals like that. It was just like there's gnarly growl soundings with just long out string yells, but it was just really rapid and really quick and just really violent sounding. And I sent you an email of something that it was the only thing that I found, and whenever I did find that, that's what really kind of sparked me going, I got to really look more into this, because it's exactly, the vocals sounded very similar to that, but what I was hearing seemed like it was like double that, as in activity.
To sound like this...
Very strange noise. Seems to be coming from some kind of an animal. It's been going on for about a minute now. From the east.
Yeah, well, it sounded a lot like that. That's why, because I was just kind of playing around, looking on YouTube, and I was like, what is that? What are they talking about? Because it was, it was not that long after everything had happened that I found that, and that's why, I said, well, let's see what that was. And, I mean, my hair stood up on end when I heard that. I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, that sounds almost exactly like what I was hearing.
What did you think it was?
I had no idea. I kept on trying to, rationalize what it could possibly be. I was thinking, well, like I said, maybe it's two bears fighting. Maybe that's what's going on. But no matter what was making the sound, if it wasn't a bear, I don't know what else it would have been. Because, I mean, a deer is not going to make that sound. Moose are not going to make that sound. This is a predator type sound. I mean, it was just rah, just screaming and just tearing. I mean, it would, the noise was so loud, I could feel it, and it was flooding out the sound of the river. You could not hear the river running when it was doing it. And this went on and off for, it was at least around close to 45 minutes.
Now, is it dark at this point?
No. This is only like, it doesn't get dark up there until like 10 o'clock. It started right around 5:15, 5:07, 5:15, somewhere in that area. And it lasted almost 6 o'clock.
Wow.
And I could hear something that seemed like it started moving across the river, like towards my direction. because I could start hearing steps in the brush. A lot of dead fall leaves everywhere. Wasn't all pine in that area where this was set up. There were some other trees, leaf-bearing trees. I had no idea what type or anything. But you could definitely hear it, and there was definitely a thick floor of leaves in that area. So you could hear something walking, and it, as much as I've gone out and hunted, it did not sound like something on four legs. It sounded like something's walking behind me and walking around and getting closer. I could never lay eyes on it, never saw it. And then close to about 7 o'clock that afternoon was probably the last time I heard any footsteps. But the last time I heard anything, it sounded like something walking behind me. It was at a distance I would guesstimate to be about 65 yards. If it was any closer than 40 yards, there was no way it could be hidden. I would have been able to see it. So it had to stay to a certain point that there was no way I could see it, because I kept on looking and just looking over the whole terrain, trying to see what was making the sound, but never could.
I would imagine at this point you're probably holding your gun and finding Jesus.
Well, I'm just bow hunting. I didn't have a gun. I'm just up there bow hunting. So I had my bow and my knife, and that's all I had with me. So I kind of had the knife sitting down beside me, and my bow was, I had my arrow knocked, and I was just kind of going, well, whatever this is, just go ahead and hurry up and show yourself. Let's get this party going. Because in all reality, without seeing, I had no idea what it was. And so I just, I was just getting ready. If this is a huge bear coming in, they're going to be ready. But it did not sound like a bear. It was not four legs walking. I know that for a fact. I could not tell what it was.
What happened next?
Well, when the steps stopped around close to 7 o'clock, it just kind of faded away. I kept on looking back over my shoulder and watching and waiting and watching and waiting, and never saw anything. So I just kind of put my attention back to the reason why I was there. Watch the bait stand, or the bait from the stand. And of course, I never saw a bear come in that night. Never saw anything come in that night. I got down. I went ahead and got out of the stand a little early before the sun went completely down, because I wanted to be able to see what I wanted to be able to see as I walked to the road to be picked up. I did not want to walk through, because you had a good 150 yards of walk to get to the road in between another thick patch of trees. I don't know if it was just that feeling because I'd heard those things. I don't know if that's what it was, but I felt my hair was standing on end. I felt like something was watching me as I walked to the road. And so I had my release on my D-loop and arrow ready to go, and I was just like, well, if something comes, I'm just gonna have to pull back and let it go. I have no idea. And I got one shot at this. So I made it to the road, and it just so happens that the guide, he showed up a little bit earlier than what I expected. He got there before the sun was down, and so I only had to stand there on the edge of the road for a few minutes. But that was pretty much it. I never heard anything else. Never saw anything.
I bet that few minutes waiting for that ride to come along was a long, long few minutes. Probably the longest few minutes of your life. Sitting there, and
I can tell you one thing. I did. I didn't stand on the edge of the road. I stood in the middle of the road. I just stood there, just kind of wait and see when a car comes, because I wanted to have as much open space I could, just in case whatever I was hearing was coming. Because I can tell you one thing: the noises that I was listening to for that at least close to 45 minutes was brutally terrifying. And one thing that I need to mention that I think I failed to mention, whenever I was hearing those vocals, and then I was trying to tell myself that, it maybe it's two bears fighting. What I had to come to grips with in my mind and in reality, after about 20 minutes of listening to it, that there was only one animal making the vocals. There was not two animals. And if you hear two animals fighting, you hear both of them making vocals. this is only one animal making vocals, and it sounded like trees could have been falling down. It was just ripping. It sounded like it was ripping something apart.
Yeah, it was just throwing a tantrum over there, sounds like, is what it was doing. Did anything else happen on this trip, or was that pretty much it for the trip?
That was really pretty much it. We never shot anything. I saw one bear the whole trip, and it was actually in an area that went the opposite direction from this area that I was hunting. We drove to the other side of the forest area, and I don't know. It seemed like it was a little bit quieter of an area because it was actually closer to the little town that was there. That was the only place I saw a bear the whole trip. So,
yeah, the bears are smart. They know to stay out of there.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed very funny because everything just seemed to be dead. Nothing was moving.
Well, what was interesting about the encounter is, you know, you mentioned, is it Sasquatch? And you had some things happen when you were younger. Do you want to talk about that?
Whenever I got back from that trip and everything, and I went and I was talking to my mother about it. I mentioned this, you know, I heard these things, and this is weird. I had no idea what this was, what was going on here. And, you know, the word, you know, of course, Sasquatch, you know, or Bigfoot, you know, it was thrown out there because I'm just trying to figure out what on earth it could possibly be. Because to me, I don't think there's any way it possible it was a bear, you know. And so the only other answer I had would be that because this was not any other animal besides something that has, you know, has the want to destroy things, kill something. So I was talking to my mom about it, and she mentioned to me, she said, well, you know, many years ago, we grew up in outside of a little town in central Texas. We lived out, you know, 13 miles outside of town. And I grew up, you know, on a farm and lived there, and, you know, we ran cows and grew peanuts and everything. And she told me that when about 79, 80, my sister at the time would have been 9 or 10 years old. She was at school, and there was a road that ran right beside the school, about the only road that ran through town. She and another little girl had gone to the bathroom, and she was kind of waiting for the other little girl to get done, and she was looking out of a little opening there in the bathroom area, and she said that she saw something walk out from under a little washout bridge that went that was on the road there. Watched it walk out, step over, look back over towards the school, stare at the school, then walk back down and walk down the creek bed. And she said it looked like a huge monkey. A huge gorilla is what she said. And when my mom told me that, I said, that's, you know, it was weird. And when she told me that, it made some things that I had always remembered just kind of spark back into my mind. Not that I'd forgotten them. It just kind of like went, wait a second. Well, maybe this is what this was. Because at that time, I was only 4 and a half years old. We lived out in the middle of nowhere, and we had fields all around our house and everything. And one field that was on the side of our house was a big cultivated field. We would have, you know, some brush piles pushed up in the corner that had been stacked up there for, you know, quite a long time when they tore down some of the trees and made the fields a bit bigger to cultivate and do everything to it. And I happened to be running across the field one day and just playing with my dog. When my dog, she never left my side. I had a mixed lab, and she went everywhere I went. And I was just kind of running across the field playing, having fun. It was a nice, warm day. It wasn't cold. Where they would turn would push up a lot of the sand. It would kind of make some little sand dunes in the corners of the field and everything. And I was actually running across, and I actually tripped on one of them. And when I tripped, I fell down. I was probably 7-8 feet away from one of these brush piles that they piled up. And as I fell down, I went to look up. The sun was setting off to the west. And as I looked up, there was something standing there behind the brush pile looking down at me. It had wide, wide, broad shoulders. It was hairy. The color of the hair shining, the sun shining through it, had an auburn reddish color, chestnut type of color. And it all I can remember, the shoulders looked huge. It was hairy. I could not see anything as in face-wise because the way the sun was setting behind it, it just looked like a huge shadow that you could see the outline of the hair of the colors. And I just kind of stared for a few seconds, and then I looked back, and my dog is gone, and she never left me. She was gone. She was hightailing it to the house. So I sat there, and as soon as I realized she was gone, I hopped up, and I'm gone. So I run back towards the house, and once I get close enough to the house, I decided to go ahead and look back. And when I did, there was nothing there anymore. And it was probably 150, 170 some yards from that brush pile to that other edge of the field there.
After you go into the home, did you go, "Hey, Mom, something's out there," or "Hey, Dad, there's something out there"? Did you tell anyone about this encounter?
No, I never did. I never mentioned it because, honestly, I just kind of it was gone. I just kind of pushed it off to the side. You know what? I've spent lots of time out there. I went out. I hunted rabbits. I did a lot of things. I ran through those patches of woods by myself all the time with my dog. There wasn't anything out there that really scared me. And I'm wondering, just because I couldn't see exactly what it was, that's why I wasn't scared. I was more curious of trying to figure out what that was.
It didn't really make any aggressive move towards you. It looks like it was just sitting there watching you.
No, it didn't move an inch. But I know for a fact it's the brush pile was pushed up, and I guarantee the brush pile was probably a good at least five to five and a half foot tall of laid down trees and limbs and everything. And this object, the brush pile was probably mid belly to it.
This thing was huge. It was huge.
Yeah. It was every bit of 7.5 foot. It would have had to have been.
You had some other strange things happen around the home, didn't you?
Yes, there was a lot of weird things that happened down there. A few weeks after that, my mom was laying in bed with my one of my sisters. They were sick, and she was laying in there, and so I was actually laying in bed with my dad. And back then, we had satellite set up outside a satellite antenna, not a satellite. Not a round satellite, just an antenna. And we had three channels. That's all you had was three channels. And so when that sucker went off.
I remember those days.
So, whenever they decided to turn off TV, there was no TV. So lay down, actually went to sleep with the TV on, had TV set up. And it was set up on a stand that was up on the wall. So you had the glowing light of that. And I was laying in the bed, and I was laying on the side of the bed, was near a window that was on the back side of the house. And how this house was setting, the ground itself is an old farmhouse, so it was actually on an old wooden frame still that it would set down on. And so it kind of, I'm not sure if it washed out or what on that back side, but it was about, from the top of the window to the ground was about 7 foot. I was just laying there, and the TV had gone, had the old circle thing, and off air, and so it would light up the room with that little glow. And I was lying there, and I kept on hearing something tap on the window. And I had no idea what it was. And I would open my eyes and look, and then just shut them real quick, because he was kind of freaking me out. You know, I had no idea what it would be at that time, because I would imagine it had been, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning or later, somewhere around there. But of course, like I said, I was very young at the time. And so no matter what that was kind of, it was weird what was going on. And I heard the tapping several times. And then the last time I heard the tapping, I leaned up in the bed and kind of leaned towards the window. And as I did that, on the very top, which would have been my right-hand side of the window, I see something lean down in the corner of that window. I could see something that looked like an arm that was like almost seemed like it was resting on top of the window. It seemed like a head looks down. You could see a shine, and then it walked away. And I had no idea what it was. It spooked the crap out of me. I pulled a blanket over my head, and I wasn't moving. And I tried to wake my dad up a couple of times, and he was just like, just go back to sleep. There's nothing there. Just go back to sleep. There's nothing there. Because he was one of those type of guys that, unless he walks in here and sits on top of me, he ain't here. You know, it's one of those type of things. I tried to wake him up. After he said that, I just didn't bring it back up. And then again, that might be another reason why the other time and stuff that I didn't say anything, because I knew that he might just be pushed away. It's nothing. Don't worry about it.
Growing up on this property, did other family members experience anything odd or anything that you can remember?
Well, it was me, my mom and dad, and I had three sisters, I know for a fact, after right around that time period, all three of us slept in the bedroom with them every night. And my sister, my older sister, that had seen what she said she'd seen over at school, she didn't want to sleep by herself in her room. She actually was trying to get me to sleep with her in her room for a couple of nights. And then after that, it was like, no, we're sleeping on the floor in mom and dad's room. There were several nights that we would hear screams off in the distance, and it would sound like a woman screaming. And it didn't sound just like a normal woman. It was loud, long, drawn out, and it was enough to make my mom was terrified.
What did your mom say?
She would ask my dad, "What is that? What is going on?" And you know, my dad said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know what it'd be. I know in the not too far away from there, there's a small little mountain range, which you know we call mountains. To y'all up there, they're not mountains, but we have a little range that ran through there, and there's been mountain lions shot in the area. So he just would say, "Well, maybe that's just a mountain lion," but you know, just if that's true, I've never heard it, for the stretch of the noise, how long the yells would last. I don't know if mountain lions do that. I wouldn't think so. I've seen mountain lions. We have them out here. I've never heard one drag out a note longer than 8, 9 seconds.
Yeah, and even 8 or 9 seconds is pretty long for a mountain lion. I mean, for the audience, this is what a mountain lion sounds like. And when you live out in the country like that, I don't know that would have shook your mom up.
But yeah, we had those things happen then. But you know, and to be honest with you, I mean, growing up down there, it was just what was happening, and just kind of put it to the wayside. It wasn't something that I'll put it this way: it was not something that you ever forgot, but it's not something we ever talked about.
Yeah, and I can understand that. I would imagine, too, living out there, you probably had heard cougars before. You'd probably heard foxes before. You know the local, you know, coyotes, you know, all the local wildlife. So I'd imagine this would throw you off, even your mom, you know, for your mom to be terrified. And, you know, your mom had heard some of that stuff. She'd heard, I would imagine she heard coyotes and foxes and everything else.
Oh, yeah. Well, you would hear coyotes every night. I mean, they're going to start off. There's tons of coyotes because, I mean, the food was abundant. There's tons of deer. You have cows, which have calves. I mean, the food is abundant. There's tons of coyotes out there, tons of bobcats. These were not the noises that they made. That's not what you heard from them. And, of course, a mountain lion was here or there. That was a very seldom thing that you would think you would see down there. But I'm not going to ever say that it's not possible for them to be walking through, but it's very unlikely that you would have one making that much noise in that area. Now, I've heard people try to say that, you know, during their mating time, they make a lot of sounds, and I've listened to their sounds in their mating. That wasn't the sound that this thing was making.
Yeah, no, it's completely different. The scream you're hearing, the scream that you heard, when it's long and drawn out and you can feel it as much as you can hear it, and you know it's a long distance from you, you know it's something strange. I think it's interesting, too, all, you know, you and, you know, all the kids decided to sleep in the parents' bedroom on the floor. And you think that would have raised some eyebrows with your folks. Your dad sounds like my dad, kind of old school, and unless one, like you said, one comes and sits on him, he's going to have a hard time believing into anything. How long did you guys live in that property?
We lived there from, I guess we moved there in 76 and moved here to Odessa in 84, I believe. So we lived there about 10 years on that place. But it's still my family land. I go down there all the time. It was my family land before we moved there. We actually moved down there just to run the farm, the ranch. My father was actually a police officer before we moved down there. So, and that's another reason why he might have been kind of the way he was. It's, you know, I'm going to do an investigation, and this is going to have to, I'm going to have hard-nosed evidence before I'm going to say this is what this could be.
And I understand that. I understand that completely. Did anything else happen while you were at the property before you guys moved?
You know, besides the screams, the one thing my mom has mentioned to me, because, you know, I've talked to her off and on about some of this stuff, she had mentioned she would hear something that she said sounded heavy. She would hear something heavy walking on the roof of the house at night. She wasn't sure what it was. Then again, we have coons and everything else out there. They can get on the roof of the house and everything. But there could be an easy explanation for it. But then she said it was heavy and it sounded like footsteps on top of the roof of the house. Now, what that would have been, I don't think anything that weighs 800 pounds is going to be walking around on top of the roof of the house, but in the middle of the night, there's no telling.
You might be surprised.
Yeah, I guess so. That's just me thinking that. I'm not sure, but then again, you never know. And one thing, too, though, there's you know, several large trees that were around our house, so anything that wanted to get up on the house wouldn't even have to jump if it didn't want to. It could climb up a tree and just then crawl right over to the roof of the house that way.
It's interesting that you had these things happen. It didn't affect you hunting. You still go out hunting, huh?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, the more I think about it, sometimes I think that maybe I ought to really watch, but I enjoy being out so much. It doesn't affect me. I'd go back to Canada in a heartbeat. Even what I was hearing, and like you mentioned before, you know, it almost sounded like he was telling me he didn't want me in that area. But you know, I don't know if it was me or what, but it definitely seemed like it knew I was there, or whatever it was.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, it sounded like it was completely throwing a tantrum, having a complete breakdown. That didn't get you to leave. You stayed there, and that's probably why it kind of circled around you to see if you were going to leave or what was going on. That's terrifying, man. I can't imagine sitting there with a bow and a knife and hearing King Kong rip apart God knows what across the way. And you can't, you can't really do anything about it. I would have probably done the same thing you did. I probably would have just stayed there, waited for it to stop, waited for my ride. Because if you get up and run in a situation like that, God knows what will happen.
Well, you know, exactly. Two things I can say about that situation. Number one, I had no idea what it was. No idea what it was. Number two, like I said, they dropped me off 10, 12 miles away from camp. Where am I going to go? I don't have a choice. I have the best vantage point I have right here, sitting right here. You know, I get on the ground. I'm toast with anything, bear, wolf, because there's wolves in the area, bear, wolf, whatever. I'm not going to win. I'm a lot better off 10 foot up in the air. You know, that's the way I look at it. I'll keep my vantage point and stay here. The one thing I will mention, too, when I was a kid, we built a enclosed a old porch on the backside of the house, and my dad would put up a wall and made part of it a bedroom for me. And the back door that was on there had glass panes in it. I liked my room. I liked to be in there during the day. At nighttime, I did not want to sleep in that room. I had this, you know, I don't know. It was the weirdest thing. I had the most eeriest feeling that something big and hairy is out there and is going to get me. And I did not want to sleep in that room. And I had a bunk bed. And I slept in that room a handful of times. But when I did, I slept on the very top bunk back up in the corner because I did not want to sleep on the bottom bunk. And I definitely didn't want to sleep on the end close to the door because it's set up against the wall right next to the door. And it was a weird, eerie feeling and did not like.
Well, it makes you wonder, too, what was out there. I mean, all the things you described around your home, it almost makes it sound like, you know, they were on your property. Probably for a long time, too. It's interesting. It's a fascinating encounter, and especially having the background that you have with growing up on this property, it ties it all together.
Yeah, it does. And like I said, I still go. I was actually just down there on that exact place this last weekend looking for some pigs. They've been tearing up the place down there, and the landscape has changed quite drastically. A large majority of the trees are gone now. There's not that many trees anymore. Half of them had to go because they just got the old oak rot and died, and the rest of it was moved off just to add for more cattle grazing land. In all honesty, if there was anything that had tried to last out there for that long of a time, they didn't move over to the other patches of woods or right near it. They moved on because they've lost a lot of habitat to hide and hunt and live in. Now, there's still deer are still plentiful and pigs are still plentiful, but there's not all that many hiding places left.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, Corey, and sharing, you know, all the encounters and your experiences. I really do. I mean, it's harder to get people to come on the show than most people realize. And I just appreciate you sharing everything with me and with the audience, man.
No, I do appreciate you listening and talking to me. Like I said, I was kind of leery about putting it on and talking about it. I wanted to talk to you about it, but, you know, I didn't know if I wanted to share it with, you know, 1,000 other people either. But I don't know. I'm not ashamed or nervous or anything worried about what I had to say. I mean, it is what it is. I heard what I heard. I've seen what I've seen. I can't change those things. I have no idea until he sits in, you know, sits down beside me in the truck and wants to have a conversation with me. I have no idea what it is, but it's definitely not something that I know. It's something out of the norm. Those noises and things that I heard and seen, it's not something that I'd seen every day. And I've spent many, many hours out in the wild.
I think having you come on really helps other people to come forward. You know, there's way more people that have had encounters than you've ever heard on the show, believe me. And it's just trying to get people to come forward. So I think, I know you were kind of iffy on coming on the show, but I'm glad you did because it helps other people come forward. And it's like I always say, man, I could have every Bigfoot researcher on the show you've ever heard of and not heard of. But at the end of the day, the witnesses is where you get your information. It's really where you get the bulk of your information on these things. So I appreciate it, man.
I do, too. I do. I appreciate every second that you've sat back and listened and the opportunity to be able to, you know, it's kind of a release. Get it off your shoulders. You don't have to carry it around with you all the time. And saying that, I mean that as in, I don't know what I heard, don't know what I saw, but it is something out of the norm. It's not, whatever it was not normal.
Thanks, Corey.
I appreciate it, man.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, anything strange, anything odd, shoot me an email, wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. I'd love to hear about it, even if you think it's something small. I would definitely love to hear about it. Remember, the truth is out there. I will see you guys next time. Have a great night. We'll be right back.